Welcome back to Parents Not In. It is a YouTube show starring Justin and Kelly. We're watching movies, we're drinking boozies. If you like Parents Not In, you should like and subscribe. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the fucking show. Parents Not In!
No. Is this going to go on for a really long time?
The whole movie. Anyway, we're watching Superman from 1978.
We're watching it not for the very first time in like 15 years, but the second time in 15.
Well, we watched it last night because we just wanted to watch it without having to deal with you people.
Well, what we've learned recently is that if we do a Parents Night in episode using a movie that we haven't seen in a long time,
we're so focused
on watching it that like we don't say anything for chunks of time, and then it ends up not being a quality experience for
the
audience.
If we just watch the movie without recording, we're like impulsively talking over it.
It's like, no, this isn't a recording. Just shut up and watch the movie. We haven't been to a movie theater in a long time. I wonder what it's going to be like when we go back to a movie theater.
We're going to be super annoying.
Yeah,
we're going to be those people.
Like, really, guys? We're going to be like, what? Shh. Subscribe.
Like, what are you looking at? We're recording a live reaction video for YouTube. Fuck off. So, Superman. Warner Brothers was very reluctant to make it.
Why?
Because all anyone thought of comic book movies at this point was Batman, the TV show. Super campy, cheeseball, 1960s crap. Their first two moves in order to give the movie legitimacy were to hire Marlon Brando as Jor-El and get Mario Puzo to write it.
Mario Puzo.
From The Godfather.
I found that out last night and almost fell off the couch.
Even though you've seen this movie 1,000 times?
Yes, but I didn't watch The Godfather until much later. I didn't connect those two things.
You didn't know who he was. I don't think they used that much of his original script necessarily.
Yeah, but his name's on it.
He wrote it kind of campy.
Mm.
When they brought in Richard Donner to be the director, he read it and he was like, this is not serious enough. We need to not act like we're above this material. So he brought in his friend Tom Mankiewicz, who is like a script doctor.
Mm.
And he's the one who kind of shaped it.
Did Gene Hackman have higher billing than Christopher Reeve?
Yes.
So it's Brando, Hackman, Christopher Reeve. Is that the order?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Christopher Reeve was a nobody.
He was?
Yes. No one knew who the fuck Christopher Reeve was at this point.
Oh.
They auditioned literally dozens of people to play Superman. The studio, of course, wanted somebody like Robert Redford or Paul Newman or...
That would have been a terrible mistake.
Nick Nolte, yes. And Richard Donner said, here's why that doesn't work. It's Robert Redford in a cape. That is not Superman. That's Robert Redford in a cape.
I agree.
One guy they auditioned was the dentist of the casting director's wife. Because she went to the dentist and looked up and she was like, oh, he looks like Superman from the nose up.
Was he any good?
No. He wasn't an actor. He was a fucking dentist. So it was a matter of finding the right combination of the right look and the ability to act, which it was pretty much one or the other with all the other candidates. I think Christopher Reeve was 24 years old.
He's one of those people where, but like, when you watch this movie, you don't look at him and think, wow, he looks really young, or wow, he looks older.
He looks ageless.
Yeah.
Yes.
Margot Kidder, on the other hand, does not look young.
Well, she apparently from the age of 14 suffered from severe bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
So she was on psychiatric drugs from a very young age.
And
sadly, neither of the leads in this film is with us anymore.
I know.
Richard Donner, however, is 90 years old.
Really?
He was 47 when they shot this.
Wow.
And it was only like his second big movie. There's still hope for me.
Mm-hmm. There is. Only a few more years, though.
That's true. Then I'm screwed.
In terms of our personal history with this movie, I have a very long history with this movie to the point that I don't ever remember it not being there. This was my grandfather's favorite movie for years and years and years. So he had this video disc. And my brother and I have been watching this movie probably since before I could speak. So watching it last night was really interesting. We've been kind of living in the Marvel world for a long time now. And we're how many movies into it with Harry right now?
10.
So watching this after that, it changes your lens a little bit?
It does.
And so I do have a lot of thoughts about it.
This movie is very quaint by comparison.
It is very quaint. But I love the quaintness.
Yeah. Well, Superman should be quaint.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, anyway. That's why Man of Steel was just so tonally wrong on every level, because it tried to
skew the quaintness to be cool and dark and consistent with the 21st century. And you can't do a cynical Superman movie. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Can we also talk about that? I was thinking about this morning. We don't see these three again
until
the second movie.
Yeah.
What a cool payoff.
It is. Well, because they shot the movies together, except they didn't get to finish the second one because they ran out of money. So the studio said, just finish the first one. We'll put that out. Then you can go back and finish the second one, except that Richard Donner, of course, was fired.
And why was that again?
Because he butted heads with the producers a lot because of budget and schedule overruns and shit. And Richard Lester of A Hard Day's Night and Help fame finished the second one.
Mm, I like this beer. Strong female lead?
Yeah, by Night Shift.
Nice job, Night Shift. Great name and a great beer. Strong female lead.
Terrence Stamp looks like a crazy man in this scene.
Terrence Stamp scared. Wow, I can't say Stamp and scared, apparently. Terrence Stamp scared the crap. That's really hard to say. Say it.
Terrence Stamp scared the crap out of me.
that was really easy for you.
Easy as pie.
He scared the bejesus out of me when I was a kid, screaming at Jarrell.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to be in the room.
So I saw the second movie first as a kid. I saw it in the theater.
Oh.
Absolutely loved it.
I definitely, as a child, always liked the second one better.
Yeah, because the second one is more of an action movie.
This one's really slow. You don't get to see Superman until an hour in.
They really take their time.
Sort of like Batman Begins. They did that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I like that. I do enjoy when that...
When it's done well, yes.
I gotta say, Susanna York's one tough bee because I would not be able to leave my child in a ship and send him away. I would climb in there with him, and I would lay in there in the fetal position.
I don't think you would fit in that ship.
Justin?
What?
I would rip off an arm if I had to.
It's made for a baby. You'd have to rip off a lot more than one arm.
I'd cut my hair.
The hair's not the issue.
If I were Brando, I would have built myself and my wife a companion ship so that when the planet started to implode, he could just be like, yep, fuck this. They can't put me in prison forever, so I'm going to get off the planet.
Yeah, it's funny that they're like, you're not allowed to leave the planet or we'll put you in the Phantom Zone. It's like, how are you going to enforce that if we left the planet?
Right.
What are you talking
and
about?
And if he knows the planet's going to explode, you just...
Right.
You just keep monitoring.
It's an empty threat.
Right. You keep monitoring, and when you think it's going to explode, you take off a couple hours early.
Yeah, they could have gone with him.
They totally could have gone with him.
Well, so in the comic, I don't think Jor-El knew the planet was going to self-destruct. I think it was like, oh shit, the planet's self-destructing. We got to get this kid off the planet.
Mm.
And they just sent him out. They didn't...
Have a plan?
No, I don't think they sent him specifically to Earth.
Because he has a whole monologue here about why Earth.
Right. And it wasn't supposed to be like we're sending him to Earth.
Mm.
It's where you have to get him off the planet to give him a chance of surviving. It was supposed to be like Moses in the basket.
Mm.
But here it's Jesus.
It puts the Jesus in the basket.
Put the fucking Jesus in the basket.
You just blasphemed, I think.
Did I?
I don't know. You said fucking Jesus. Oh, no. I did it, too.
Oh, no.
I'm going to hell.
Oh, we're going to hell.
Oh, no.
It's more fun there, anyway. That's where all the drugs are.
Oh, Jesus.
It's true.
You think that's what happens? People go and then they do drugs?
All kinds of drugs. All the drugs.
That's weird.
Is it?
I don't know. If you want to do drugs so bad, what are you waiting for? Why do you have to wait until you're dead?
Because then there's no consequence. You're already dead.
It almost seems like then you're not being punished in hell. You're just, here you go, have fun.
I think Satan's more fun than everyone gives him credit for, honestly. You just gotta get on his good side.
This made a weird turn.
I'm just here for the drugs. Ooh, you can see cloth behind that explosion.
I definitely just saw the cloth.
Never noticed that before.
Yeah, we have a good copy right now.
Oh my god, that's like Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't iron the cloth properly.
I wanted to ask you, what breaks the mirror in the second movie?
The nuke that Superman throws into space.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know if it's a nuke. It's a bomb.
The Eiffel Tower one, right?
Eiffel Tower, yeah.
Yeah.
That blows them up. I think it was supposed to be something else originally. So there's two versions of Superman 2 available now. There's a Richard Donner cut that uses, I don't know if exclusively his footage, but as much of his footage as he got, including stuff that was like done for screen tests.
Mm.
Like the scene where Lois figures him out is way better in the Richard Donner version, but all they had was a screen test of it. So it's this shitty... It's done in one, I think, one shot or maybe a couple simple shots, but it's got this like crappy hotel room set.
Mm.
But just scripting wise and acting wise, it's so much better than what they ended up with. He doesn't trip and burn his hand. She actually has a gun and she shoots him.
That's right. We talked about this before.
And she is like, if you're Superman, you're not going to die right now, right? So she shoots him and he's like, okay, I'm Superman. She's like, huh, it was blanks. So she tricked him into revealing himself. And that's so much better than him falling and burning his hand.
Right.
Just the tone of Richard Donner's version is kind of more serious and less cheesy. The problem is Donner originally intended for him spinning the earth backwards to be in the second movie. And so when it came time in 2006 or whatever to assemble his cut of the movie, he put that back in. It's like, you can't do it now. You already did it in the first one. You have to, what are you doing? What are you drinking tonight, Justin Ballard?
What are you drinking tonight?
I'm back to the Vitamin C, just another t-shirt shop. They're super dank beer.
Just another t-shirt shop.
That tastes like Fiddlehead. It's the one they said they would make their flagship if they had a flagship. So the Kents...
I love this scene. I love Martha. The woman who plays her, I think, does a nice job.
Why did you say that name?
Jesus. So now they've just realized that they probably are going to take this alien home. Cut to teenage Clark. Teenage Clark...
stinks.
...is awful. Teenage Clark...
yeah.
...has a bad wig. Teenage Clark has an overdubbed voice.
Looks nothing like Christopher Reeve.
Teenage Clark could not look anything less like Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, I don't...
Do they even have the same color eyes?
I don't know. So he's supposed to be like 17. Christopher Reeve was only 24. Like, just use Christopher Reeve for these scenes and do his hair different so he looks younger.
Yeah.
Lana loves him.
I also...
would you like to come?
Yes. I also love how they brought her back for Superman 3.
Yeah.
Different, so many years
different
later.
Actress, though.
No.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was the same actress.
It's not her.
You sure?
Yes, it's Annette O'Toole.
That's not Annette O'Toole?
No.
Annette O'Toole plays Superman's mom on Smallville.
On Smallville, yes.
All these kids are jerks. They screwed him over.
It's all right. He's going to Forrest Gump their asses by running really fast.
From then on, whenever I went, I was running.
I was running. This right here.
This running is so bad.
It's so bad.
Oh, even as a kid, I was like, he runs funny.
Yeah. Well, why are his arms way out here? Nobody runs like that. Like,
no.
So he's on wires and he's attached to this crane that's driving down the street, right? But like, they couldn't get him to just keep his arms in like you would when you're running. So they introduce Lois Lane here as a kid, which means that Superman's way older than her.
Yeah, that's weird too.
It is weird.
Because he definitely doesn't look
By the way,
older
you know
her.
Who played Lois's mom there?
Looks familiar.
I can't remember her name, but she was on...
I don't know who she is.
No, she was on the TV show. The old Superman TV show.
Oh, really?
She was Lois.
Oh!
I forget her name.
That's funny.
But that was like a Easter egg. So here's where Pa Kent bites it.
Wow, that was insensitive. I like Pa Kent. I think Pa Kent is a good mix of like rugged...
Insensitive.
Like he's not like this... oh, doting, like, dorky dad.
Well, that's...
But he's also, like, a hardened farm guy, but not overly gruff either.
He's an old-school Americana dad.
Yeah, he's cool.
Like, this whole section of the movie is meant to be, like, Norman Rockwell.
Yeah. He does look like a Rockwell painting. Clark, on the other hand, looks like a nightmare.
Clark looks like my nightmares.
Clark looks like that Barbie doll I had in the 80s with the rail hair.
Yeah, he does. Also, why'd they give him a wig instead of just, like, blacking his hair like they did with Christopher Reeve? Like, Christopher Reeve's hair isn't black. They colored his hair black. Oh, no.
This always made me so sad when I was little.
Hey, Jonathan Kent's having a fucking heart attack, dude. What's Clark gonna say? What about Martha?
Why'd you say Martha?
Why'd you say that name? Fucking Martha.
Poor Ma. He spends 12 years there?
In the fortress.
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's where he learns everything.
So basically, he goes through his entire schooling career
yes.
again. He's like Dr. Superman.
He's Dr. Superman, yes.
Yeah, right. We should be calling him Doc.
Doc. It's
Doc Soups.
Doc Kent. It's...
Damn it! You win this round. Bing! One for Justin.
If you want to be Superman, you got to learn. You don't just step into that cape. You got to earn it.
So the first time this was referred to as being in Kansas was in this movie. It was never referred to...
It was just Smallville?
Yeah.
Smallville, USA.
The Adventures of Superman radio show said Iowa. DC Comics number 14 said it was in Maryland between Metropolis and Gotham on the Delaware Bay.
Maryland. That's weird.
After the movie and Crisis on Infinite Earth. What the hell is that?
That was a big, like, events comic. DC's writing was so all over the place that they had to say that there were just different universes, like parallel universes. So the same characters existed, but in different universes.
Yeah.
So like Earth 1, Earth 2, Earth, you know, multiple Earths.
Oh.
So that they could shore up all these discrepancies in the storytelling. So they said, fuck it. It's all, there's multiple Earths. Crisis on Infinite Earths is basically them like combining everything into one universe. That's cohesive.
And from there on, Smallville was constantly in Kansas.
Yeah.
I want to know something. He told her he was going north. Is she thinking like he's going to end up in Michigan?
Yep, Michigan.
Yeah.
This is quite a hike for him.
Yes. Okay. So he's hiking through the seven layers of the candy cane forest.
The swirly whirly gumdrops.
Through the Lincoln Tunnel. I want to know.
Why he didn't run into Buddy the Elf.
Yes.
Coming the other way.
And where's Mr. Narwhal?
Yeah.
Right? He jumps on the iceberg. I don't see Mr. Narwhal.
There's oh, there is something. Bear.
There's a polar. I never noticed that before.
Me neither. Why didn't Mr. Narwhal show up?
Hey, Superman. Hope you find your dad.
Both of my dads are dead, Mr. Narwhal. Thank you for bringing up such a painful subject, you dick.
I wonder what he thinks is happening here. Like, if that were me and I threw something and that started to happen, I would deaf be running the other way.
Deaf.
I would V be scared. I would be V scared and I would run the other way, totes my goats.
You would very be scared?
Yes. I do love all of the music in this score. John Williams is a genius.
Yeah, it's an amazing score.
This score, I feel like, is a character in this movie.
Oh, yeah. This and Jaws and Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark, the score is a character. And E.T. as well.
I just thought of something really funny.
What?
We are homeschooling our child right now through Zoom conferences. This is basically the 12-year-long Zoom conference.
Yeah, basically.
He is being Zoom conference taught by Jarell.
What I want to know is later when he actually talks to this recording of Jarell, how does that work?
Artificial intelligence.
So it's like in Winter Soldier where he basically uploaded his brain into a computer?
Yeah, kind of.
Is that what's going to happen to us? Like, we'll eventually be able to, before we die, just upload our brains?
And then he flies towards the camera, and then we don't see him again in the Supes costume for
and
a little while.
And then he, like, swings off to the side. That was his move. Like, Christopher Reeve came up with that. He actually, like, tilted his body so that he would swing.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, my God, that was perfect.
Well, you have to. Otherwise, you're not going to look like you're doing anything.
Right. Yeah, all the filmmakers credit him with as being the best special effect of all, because when he was flying, he really looked like he was flying. Hey, Kelly.
It's Lois!
Lois Lane!
Of course!
How did Superman fake his way through a job interview at a newspaper?
I don't know.
I am a very experienced reporter with a snappy prose style. Here are some samples of my writing.
Apparently he types really fast. Perry knows that.
I didn't see a typewriter in the Fortress of Solitude. Where'd he get the typewriter?
It doesn't matter, Justin. All he has to do is know how to type and then super speed does the rest.
I can type 7,000 words a minute.
The typewriter's going to catch on fire.
I can type while flying. Can any of your other reporters do that? Or do they have to do one at a time, losers?
I like how he called him a mild-mannered reporter.
That always struck me as very cheesy.
Yeah.
Because no one uses the phrase mild-mannered except to describe Clark Kent.
Fan service.
Yes, it's fan service. So Margot Kidder is Canadian. She was also one of dozens of actresses that they auditioned for the role.
Mm.
She went out over like Leslie Ann Warren and Ann Archer.
Leslie Ann Warren would have been so weird in this role.
She was not good based on her audition.
Yeah.
She was like way over the top from her screen
test. She's too, and that's just her thing.
What was she famous for?
She played Cinderella in the Rodgers and Hammerstein one.
I thought Ann Archer would have been solid.
I don't know who Ann Archer is.
I couldn't tell you what she was in. I've seen her in something. I just can't think of it.
Mm.
Patriot Games, maybe?
He's such an oaf. He plays the oaf really well.
Yes.
He practiced that for a long time in the Fortress of Solitude. Probably wasn't hard to do. There's a lot of ice there. He's probably just constantly slipping.
Whoa!
Oh, I dropped the crystal.
Oh, no. I built a second Fortress of Solitude by accident. I dropped it in the water. Shit. Here's where we meet Mr. Luthor. So Gene Hackman obviously did not have the same commitment to Lex Luthor as Kevin Spacey later did. When Kevin Spacey actually shaved his head for the role.
Mm.
Gene Hackman didn't even want to shave his mustache for the role.
Oh, really?
He told a story that when he first met with Richard Donner about playing Luthor, he said, you know, I'd kind of like to keep the mustache. Is that okay? And Richard Donner was like, well, I'll make a deal with you. If you shave your mustache, I'll shave mine. And he said, okay, fine. And then he went and shaved his mustache, and then he came back and said, okay, what about your mustache? And Richard Donner went, okay, and peeled off the fake mustache that he had on.
That's hilarious.
Yep.
His head was shaved in the second movie.
It wasn't shaved. It was a bald cap. And a bad one. And it's not like he had that much hair to hold on to either.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You don't realize until you're, you know, in your 40s how young Jimmy Olsen is.
You know what else Jimmy Olsen was in?
No.
Back to the Future.
Oh, no. You told me this.
He was Dave.
Yesterday, and I almost fell off the fucking couch.
Yep.
I was like, what? And I have seen both of those movies 9 million times.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, this is 78, and Back to the Future was what, 88?
85. Kelly.
88 miles an hour. Sorry, I was confused. I had a huge crush on Christopher Reeve when I was a kid.
Oh, he was a beautiful man.
Oh, man. I loved him so much. He was just so handsome. He oozes charm.
It's just absolutely heartbreaking what happened to him.
So sad. And incredible that he was able to live for as long as he did afterwards and do wonderful things.
Yes, he spearheaded fundraisers and stuff for people like him.
I was really sad when he passed away.
Yeah.
Because he was... I mean, as I said before, like he was just always there. He was always there for me.
Yeah.
When I think of this movie, it's my first superhero movie anyway. But for years, this was the superhero movie that you had to live up to.
Yep.
And nothing lived up to it for me.
Yardstick.
Yeah, nothing lived up to it for me for years. And even when we first started watching the Marvel movies, like I remember seeing Iron Man and being like, okay, yeah, that was really good, but it's not Superman. And then we saw something else and I was like, it's really, really good, but it's not really Superman, like X-Men movies and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And now it's sort of, now that Marvel has done what it's done, this is not the pinnacle for me anymore.
Well, no.
It's like your first boyfriend. like it's really, really important and he took something that I can never get back. I gave him my gift. Yeah. I gave him my flower. And now I have Chris Evans.
And I wish Chris Evans would take my flower.
Yeah, you really can't compare the two.
I would be his Winter Soldier.
It works better when you say it. If I said it, that doesn't make sense.
Batman 89 didn't live up to this for you?
No.
At the time?
It was too dark for me. Oh. I was 10 when
That's
I saw
true.
That.
You were 10.
And so, to me, superhero movies were red and blue. And,
right.
You know,
super colorful and comic strippy.
And the good guy was bright and handsome and pure. Yeah. And Michael Keaton was awesome, and I loved him in Batman. But the Joker was dark, and some of the shit that happens in that movie is dark.
Oh, yeah.
And I was young.
It's a pretty fucking violent movie.
It is. And we watched it all the time when we were 10 and 6.
Yeah. I absolutely loved that movie when it came out. And it was a huge deal.
It was a huge deal.
It was as big as this when it came out. And now, watching it, it's really fun for nostalgic reasons.
Doesn't hold up for you,
being
though.
Being transported back to when I was 14 and that came out. And I was like, this is fucking awesome.
14 is an amazing age, actually, for that to
perfect
have happened.
Age for that movie. Again.
You were born at the exact right time.
I was. And then at the totally wrong time for other things. But...
But we're not talking about other things.
We're not talking about my ambition.
what?
My creative endeavors.
Oh.
Batman 89 doesn't hold up that well now.
No. So at this moment, we're like an hour into the movie, and at this moment...
Yeah, this is the first real Superman scene.
Right. Other than him flying out of the fortress, now we see Superman. I sort of like
that. What did he do with his clothes?
I don't know. I sort of like that... He lets him fly out of the Fortress of Solitude, and we barely see his face.
Yeah.
And then we spend a good half hour with him as Clark.
Right.
Then we get the payoff.
The real Superman scene.
Yeah.
Yes. It was disciplined of them to do it that way and really take their time.
I also love how easy this is for him. He just is like, here it comes. I'm just going to grab it. Oh, like it's a fly ball.
Yeah, I'm going to just grab that.
Yeah. Hold on, Lois. Hold that train of thought.
It'd be funny if he dropped her when he cut that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Sorry, Lois.
You know what? This is my first real rescue. You got to cut me a little slack here.
I studied this for 12 years, but I'm just now, this is my first time in practice.
I love the scenes of him just flying around. They look so bad now compared to...
They do. They're clunky.
But when we were kids, it looked great.
That was state-of-the-art effects back then.
Yep.
And it was the first movie to do anything like that with somebody flying.
Yeah.
Because on the TV show, it was him in front of a scrolling rear projection background.
Right. I love this.
Yeah, it was a great little montage of him just doing Superman-type stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what was partly missing from Man of Steel. They didn't even bother with any of this shit.
No.
How can you have a Superman movie where he doesn't stop crimes or save people for a while? Like, you have to establish him as our savior before you can fuck with the character. But they just jump straight into, I'm miserable because I'm alone and I'm Jesus.
Can you remind me? The synopsis, like a very short synopsis of that movie, because I don't remember. Is it an origin story?
It's an origin story, except that they way overcomplicated the Krypton stuff. They had like They weren't allowed to have birthed children. They had to have engineered children in a test tube. And Jor-El and his wife broke that and had an actual baby through fucking. And
well, then, they know what's right.
And then, like, the entire history of Krypton was in this codex thing that Zod was trying to grab a hold of so he could resurrect Krypton on Earth.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's
then he tried
right.
to terraform Earth to make it like Krypton, except the terraforming consisted of a machine that picked up everything and smashed it against the ground.
Yeah.
It's like, this is, like, really unpleasant.
Yeah.
This is like you picking up the audience and smashing us against the ground for 2.5 hours.
I remember all this now. Who is Jor-El?
Jor-El was Russell Crowe, and he was dull as fuck.
Yeah.
And Michael Shannon was General Zod, and he was just totally miscast. I like Michael Shannon, but he was not right for that character at all.
No. But you know who I did love?
Amy Adams?
Yes, I
Except
loved...
Except they gave her nothing to do.
Yeah, I loved her. But, oh, I love her, period.
I love her, too, but, like, her character's so badly written in that movie. She's just there.
But I loved Brandon Routh.
Brandon Routh was great.
He was
but that was Superman Returns.
I know.
But, no, I mean, he was basically playing Christopher Reeve. That was the only problem.
He was Brandon Routh playing Christopher Reeve,
because it was a continuation of these movies.
Right.
But he was very good as a Christopher Reeve surrogate.
Yes.
Kate Bosworth, not so much.
No, she was not right. Great.
Kevin Spacey was really good
as Lex
Luthor.
Kevin Spacey was great.
Yeah.
And
Parker Posey.
Yeah. And was she Miss Tessmacher?
She was like the next Miss Tessmacher.
Yeah. What was her name? I forget.
I don't remember. She was really good, though.
I like her, period. Yeah, she's
awesome.
So fun.
As flawed as that movie was, and it's very flawed, that movie had some of the best Superman set pieces ever.
Yeah.
Like the rescue on the plane.
Yeah.
The thing where, like, they show a bullet bouncing off his eyeball.
Yes, that was cool.
It was a great scene.
That was a very cool scene.
There's a lot of fantastic Superman-type scenes in that movie. The movie overall doesn't work.
I thought they did a good job of capturing some of the warmth of Superman, too.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally, it was right. It's just, it was a slog to sit through because of the thing with his kid and...
I thought that was cute.
And he started to get kind of mopey in that movie.
Yeah.
Which, again, Superman shouldn't be mopey. You don't... That's not why you want to watch a Superman movie.
Remember Evil Superman from Superman 3? He was kind of mopey.
I remember so little about that movie.
We should watch it again just for a laugh.
Oh, God.
It's so bad, it's good.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor was really fun.
I love Richard Pryor, but, like, I don't want to watch a Superman movie for Richard Pryor, you know what I mean? This is a great scene. He saves Air Force One. Fly. Don't look. Just fly. We got something. I ain't saying what it is.
Guy's weird.
Is he playing Richard Nixon? you could fly and you could land the plane.
That's your Richard Nixon.
I don't know. And here's where Superman was talking about how much he enjoyed helping people.
Jor-El's
like, really?
They're gonna start asking you for stupid shit, so you better be careful.
Right. Because in Man of Steel, he's like, I'll help you, but it's gotta be on my terms.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whatever, millennial soups.
That's more okay boomer
this, like,
at this point.
So Superman.
I hope you, it's gonna be on my term. Okay, boomer.
Yeah, boomers suck. I'm just kidding. We have parents that are boomers, so.
Brad Pitt's a boomer.
That's true. I know, that's so sad.
It's so weird.
So weird. I realized I've made a serious omission.
What?
When we were talking about superhero movies and definitive superhero movies, we skipped over the whole Batman Begins Dark Knight thing.
Well, yes, that...
So before Marvel...
Before Marvel, there was...
I would say that the Dark Knight was like my quintessential superhero movie.
That came out the same year as Iron Man.
Yeah. I can't believe I skipped over that.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, that, for me, and probably forever, will be the yardstick as far as superhero movies.
And so now... You know, as a child, Superman was the hero for me, and it took a lot to replace him. And I think probably for a little while, Christian Bale's Batman did. But I have a new leader.
Is it Chris Evans?
It's Cap.
He's your favorite superhero actor now?
I love Cap. No, it's not my superhero actor. I'm saying, like, my superhero epitome is Cap. Cap is, like,
because
the
Cap
quintessential
is pure good,
superhero, because he's pure good.
Whereas Batman is conflicted?
Yes.
I see.
I think that Cap has taken the pure good...
Like, intrinsically...
He's intrinsically good and...
A paragon of...
Yeah.
Yes, someone to look up to.
Right.
Yeah, what's funny is, like, I was never into Captain America as a character until these movies.
I wanted nothing to do with the Captain America movies when they came out. I made you go see all of them by yourself.
Yeah, I saw the first one by myself in the theater, and I was like, oh, it was fun. It was like a sort of a B-movie. And then Winter Soldier, I didn't even see that in the theater because the first one was just like a lark. And I was like, this, you know, I could probably skip this. And then the reviews came out, and they were like, this is a game changer. I was like, really? And then I rented it, and I watched it without you. And I was like, holy shit, this movie's good.
Right. And you were like, you really need to watch Winter Soldier. And I was like, fine. And then I watched it and I was like, okay, this is pretty awesome.
That movie's incredible.
But yeah, Cap is my man now. Cap's my soup.
Yeah, I remember watching Winter Soldier at the time because it was a year after Man of Steel came out. And I was like, this is what Superman should have been.
Mm, I remember you saying that. Because Winter Soldier has plenty of dark.
It's a heavy movie, and
but guess
the
who,
action
guess
scenes.
Who is the light?
Right.
Oh, it's the superhero.
Right, and the action scenes in that movie are fucking intense.
They're so good. Bucky, the Winter Soldier.
Bucky's terrifying.
Is terrifying.
Yeah.
As we were watching it again, I was sort of reminiscing the moment when you see the Winter Soldier in that movie for the first time, and he's just mercilessly beating Cap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no one's going to beat this guy.
Right.
What the hell? Who is this? And then when I realized it was Bucky, I was like, what?
Yeah, I had no idea the first time I watched it.
So good.
That's my favorite MCU movie. So she's interviewing Superman for an article. He agreed to be interviewed.
He is like smoldering and he is just giving her every in. Like, you're hot and I really like you. And like, look at his eyes. He's super intense. I never picked up on that before.
Really?
He just emits sex.
Yes.
I don't know how I never picked up on it as a kid. I mean, not as a kid, like as an older teenager.
So in the documentaries, they talk about how both of these actors basically had to play two different characters. Like, he actually plays two different characters.
Yeah.
He's got to be Superman, but he also has to be this bumbling idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But she has to play her interactions with him totally different depending on who he is.
Right. Yeah. She's like the lovesick teenager type.
Right. When he's Superman, she's going to be like, oh.
Right.
But then when he's Clark, she's going to be like, okay, Clark, whatever.
Like, you literally mean nothing to me.
Dismissive. And,
yeah.
And, like, cynical.
Like, he's a little man boy, and she's like a cynical, jaded, hard-edged
reporter.
When
he's Superman, she completely changes into a different person.
And doesn't happen to recognize that he's the same guy sans glasses.
Well, you know, that's one of the great fallacies of the comic book genre is, oh, he puts glasses on, so therefore he's a different guy.
God, I love the score so much.
You know what I don't love, though? Is her voiceover.
Yeah.
You can fly. You live in the sky. It's me. It's Lois. So we talked about this on an earlier episode, but you know who would have been a perfect Lois Lane?
I don't remember.
Karen Allen.
Oh, she would have been great.
Yep.
Yeah, she's perfect. I love her.
I love her, too.
She's so good in the indie movies.
Yep. And in Scrooged.
Oh, yeah.
Also
yeah,
directed by Richard Donner.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a shame she didn't audition for this.
You don't see a Courtney Cox resemblance?
A little bit. Why do you say that?
When we watched Ace Ventura, I'm pretty sure I said to you, when Courtney Cox first came on the scene, I was like, oh my God, she's like Margot Kidder's twin.
No, I agreed that there was a resemblance. Kind of similar voice, too.
Yes.
Yeah, she, when she was younger, could have been a good Lois Lane.
Courtney Cox would have been a great Lois Lane.
Yeah.
If Doc Brown invented the time machine,
he could have captured Courtney Cox on the set of Friends and said, no, fuck this show. You got bigger things to worry about. You're Lois Lane, bitch.
Wow, Doc Brown is a savage.
He would have said, great Scott, you're Lois Lane. I don't do a very good Christopher Lloyd either.
No.
God damn it.
Who was that? You're Lois Lane.
I remember Old Man Peabody. He owned all of this. Her horse high.
No, you said it sounds like Dana Carvey doing Jimmy Stewart.
Oh. The Lois Lane's not here. She's out there. Your Doc Brown is Dana Carvey doing Jimmy Stewart, doing Cary Grant, doing Harvey Keitel.
Pretending to be Doc Brown.
Colorized.
That's pretty wizard.
Looks like the where The Shining was shot.
It does.
Literally looks like that.
It looks like that road.
It might be.
Going to the Sun Road.
Yes.
Okay.
A bizarre
so
name.
So now, there's not. I looked up Superman 1978, The Road to the
Sun. It might not be in the same road, but it looks
so
very
I don't think
similar.
It's a, I don't think it's the same road.
Looks very similar.
They might be in California.
The Californians.
Miss Tessmacher, what are you doing here? Superman, you never told me you had a dad. That's amazing.
I miss them.
You definitely never told me you had two dads.
I'm not, they're both dad.
Your dads are both dad?
Lois is not much of a driver. Why would they do an interview in a car? Like, meet him somewhere at a coffee shop or something. Why would you interview him in a moving car while you're driving?
Yeah, it's weird. Who decided to make a bow tie? And how did they decide to make it such a weird shape? Like, when it's untied, it's like a whoop, whoop,
I believe
whoop.
It was invented in Cincinnati.
You're gross! Kelly's gonna drink some Bamboozled by Hops.
Let's drink Bamboozled!
Kelly's gonna get herself Bamboozled.
With beer. They should hire Joey Tribbiani to come and sing a jingle.
They should. Let's get ready to drink Bamboozled by Hops.
Bamboozled is one of my favorite BHZ beers.
And what does BHZ stand for?
Barrel House Z, our local Weymouth brewery.
The first
Weymouth brewery. There are now three, but it was number one.
It was number one.
Number one in our town and in our hearts.
I am drinking my favorite Weymouth brewery, Vitamin C, all together now.
Mm.
Sorry, all together. It's just all together.
We're super lucky that we have three breweries in Weymouth. And
we are.
Vitamin C and Barrel House Z
are right next
to each other.
Yeah. And they rhyme.
Vitamin C, Barrel House Z. Wow. How did we get that the same? We've never sung that before.
Weymouth beer is all right for me. That's a song that we've been married too long.
Yeah. That was not planned.
I love this scene, too.
Yeah, this scene is awesome.
This is excellent Superman type stuff where he's getting shot from every angle and it's just bouncing off him. This whole bit was cut from the fucking theatrical version, which is baffling to me.
Actually, when we were watching it last night, I was like, I don't really remember this
part.
What a great...
How could you cut this?
Yeah, what a great display of what he's capable
of. Right, this is prime Superman material.
And Miss Tessmacher's like, fucking A right, bitch.
Miss Tessmacher's like, oh my God.
Whoa. He's wonderful.
I hope he uses his X-ray vision on me. He'll find some lovely treats.
Oh, woo, woo, woo. That's what I say when cute boys walk towards me.
You have never once said that in my presence, so I guess I'm not cute.
Woo! Woo!
I'm learning a lot about our marriage.
I don't need a geography lesson, Lex. I went to 12 years of dad school in the Fortress of Solitude. I'm Dr. Soups.
I'm Dr. Soups. I wrote children's books about soup. Oh no, it's kryptonite. Oh God.
But fortunately, Miss Tessmacher...
Has a conscience.
Well, mostly she thinks he's hot.
That doesn't hurt. And then she says, my mom's in New Jersey.
My mother lives in what?
Hackensack.
Hackensack.
My mother lives in Hackensack. Oh no, she's gonna die. Why'd you kiss me?
You're a real pretty lady, gosh. Your face is swell.
Your boobs are swell.
I wasn't gonna go gross, but since you did, I'll laugh at it. He's gonna go save the world. Superman.
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 It's weird to me that over 40 years later, this is still the Superman movie that got it the most right.
Yeah.
Like, Superman Returns got the action scenes probably the most right. But in terms of the character, this movie got it the most correct.
Yes. Well, it's like many other things. Some things don't need a remake.
I'm fine with them remaking it, but like, you don't need to reinvent it.
Mm.
You don't need to reinvent the character of Superman. The character of Superman is very simple.
This was always so scary and sad to me, too.
And she's actually in a car crusher.
Yeah. Wait, really?
They put her in a car crusher.
Jesus. Like,
no, don't worry about it. We're going to just slightly crush the car. You'll be fine.
And they're dumping dirt on her, too?
Yeah.
Jesus.
She did her own stunt for this scene.
That's terrifying.
I love how he plays his reaction. To
yes,
her death,
and it
though.
Scared
it's so
the
perfect.
Shit out of me as a kid.
Really?
Oh my God, yes, because he screams.
Yeah.
You know, he's a gentle, wonderful soul. So to have him scream like that was like gut-wrenching and scary.
This is performance-wise maybe his best moment in the film.
Yeah. You know, if Miss Tessmacher didn't insist that he save her mother first.
Stupid bitch.
Oh, I'll still be alive.
I can't save your mother first, you stupid bitch. Fuck you, Jor-El. I'm going to interfere.
You're dead. You can't even tell me these things now.
You can't say things. You don't even have to watch it anymore. My only problem with this. So he reverses time by spinning the earth backwards. I mean, that doesn't make any sense that it would reverse time. But even if it did, he then goes back and saves her. But what about the first missile? Like, there aren't two of him. So how does reversing time in just for this area fix everything? Like, he still has to stop the first missile, right?
You know what, Justin?
I don't understand.
You're asking me questions that I think probably don't need to be answered.
They don't? You know, Justin, you're asking me questions about plot that...
What if...
throws off the entire movie.
She ran out of gas.
And now there's no fault line. Like, why not?
Well, so I think what happened was maybe...
What happened to the missile?
He knew he needed more time, and maybe he saved both missiles. He clearly saved the missile, because there's no earthquake.
What?
Oh, she did say earthquake, sorry.
So then what about the two missiles? Oh, she figured it out, but then she was like, meh. Clark has glasses. It can't be the same person.
Clark can't fly! I've never seen Clark walk out of work and fly away, have you?
Clark has never worn a Superman costume.
I've never seen Clark bring a cape to work.
Never once. It's ridiculous.
Bye, Soups. We'll see you next time, Soups.
We'll see you in Soups 2, Soups.
Soup, Soup!
Richard D? Marlon B? Soup?
So, do you foresee a day where we do Superman 2, or should we talk about it a little bit?
We could talk about it.
Okay.
It's possible we'll do it someday, but let's talk about it.
I really like Superman 2.
This is the setup, and Superman 2 is supposed to be the payoff, in a way. Because the second movie is him meeting his match in terms of Zod and...
Well, those three superheroes, those three villains are so great because they all have their own kind of different spin on their powers and how they use them.
Yeah.
And a lot of chaos ensues when they show up. And so that's really fun.
Yes.
So I find the visit to the Fortress of Solitude with her very hokey. As a kid, I thought it was super cool. But like when I look back on it now...
Where he brings her there?
He brings her to the Fortress of Solitude. They have like a fancy dinner.
Yeah.
They sleep in foil blankets and, you know, do it in his ice bed.
And he gives up his powers.
Yeah, and then he gives... It's like that part of the movie I could do without. The giving up his powers thing I think is... Like I get why it's important. They have to show that, like, he's so in love, he's willing to give up what he is for her.
But it also seems out of character. It's like... It's a selfish move. It's like he has been, up until this point, committed to saving the human race whenever they need it. But he's...
He's going to give all that up.
Fuck it. I want to bang this girl.
He's going to give all that up for the ladies.
And then immediately they go to a burger joint and he gets his ass kicked.
And then he's like... Forget it, I changed my mind, pain sucks.
And, you know, his mom says, this is irreversible, just so you know. And then he is able to reverse it later. Like,
yeah,
it makes no sense.
Remind me, because I don't remember. How?
He goes back, somehow he walks back, even though he's mortal now.
Yeah.
And then he just goes...
Maybe it really is in Michigan. Maybe Father, it's just in the cold part of Michigan.
Father! And then the green crystal lights up.
He kind of finds it in the rubble.
He finds it in the rubble, and the green crystal allows him to get his fucking powers back.
Stupid.
It's not a good plot point.
No, I do think it's important for the audience to see that, like, he's willing to give it up for her, and that's great. I mean, she hasn't done anything to make herself seem like it's that worth it.
No.
So there's that. I don't know, that part of the movie always just made me really sad.
Also, if his powers come from the Earth's yellow sun, how would any kind of molecule chamber take away his powers permanently? It makes no sense. That part of the movie doesn't
work. What it probably is, Justin?
What?
Midichlorians.
Midichlorians.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a feeling that the midichlorians somehow had something to do with
this. Kelly, I've been meaning to ask, what are midichlorians?
Yeah, lots of good things happen in that second movie, but that stuff is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
His willingness to give up who he was for love makes him fallible and connects him to humanity a little bit, right?
Yeah.
What's cool about that is the cap doesn't do that He has many an opportunity to give it up for love, and he doesn't take it until the very end when he almost dies 900 times.
That's true.
And then he's like, you know what? I've almost died enough times now. Fuck this shit. I'm going for the girl.
Cap is awesome.
Cap's so great.
I love Cap.
He gets to make out with ScarJo and is like, saving lives is better.
And I got to tell you, if it was between saving lives and making out with ScarJo, I'd probably choose ScarJo.
Yeah, well, you do like making out.
I do love making out. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Hey, Justin, would you rather beat up these bad guys or go kiss somebody? Oh, I'm definitely going to take the kissing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Not even close.
I mean, if you ask a lot of people that question, they're probably going to go for the kissing. You want to kiss or do you want to fight?
Probably.
I want to go for the kiss.
I mean, the human race would be better if more people said, I want to kiss more than fight.
Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't you say?
Depends on who you're standing across from. If you're standing across from, like, El Guapo, for example.
El Guapo!
You're definitely going to pick the fight. If you were standing in front of Gene Hackman and they said, would you like to kiss or fight?
You mean Lex Luthor?
Yeah.
If he said, would you mather?
Would you, Marshall Mathers, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded fight partner, kiss lover?
I would rather make out with Miss Taskmaker and then stop the missiles.
Fuck. Do you want to rewind and start that again?
Hey there, I'm Samson. Do I am a there, Rua? Because I am. I am that Superman. If I wasn't, then... Superman. How do you like Superman?
What?
I
think I just spent like an hour and a half to 2 hours and 25 minutes or so telling you that.
I want to see a Superman film that captures the spirit of this movie while taking advantage of the technology that we have now.
Yeah, yeah.
The movies that have come the closest to that are Winter Soldier and Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman is so good.
It was really good, and she's another character that was like, this is how Superman should have been.
Yeah.
She's really likable, like Superman ought to be.
She's really likable, and she's really inherently good, and all the crazy shit that happens around her is dark, but it doesn't mean she needs to be.
Right.
You want the hero to be the light in the darkness.
Right.
Tony Stark does it with humor and sarcasm. Cap does it just by being awesome.
It depends on the hero.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they all have their different ways.
Like, Batman is a very conflicted hero. Batman should be dark. But Superman is supposed to be about, I'm going to do the right thing because I inherently love doing the right thing.
Right.
It's what
it feels
defines
good.
Defines me as a person is helping people.
Right. And it makes him happy.
Right.
You could argue that in the scene where he says, you know, I really liked helping those people, Dad.
Dad,
I really liked helping those people, Dad.
Especially Morgan.
You could almost argue that because he's getting that kind of high from doing it, that eventually that high is going to wear off, right? Like with any high in the world, a runner's high from booze, from drugs, whatever, eventually you need to seek more and more and more to get that high. Mm-hmm. So his next step for that high is Lois. And so it brings it back to that human nature thing. Like there's enough of a human in him that he wants that.
Well, then it becomes like Last Temptation of Christ almost.
That was my second argument.
Yeah.
So my second argument was that this is not unlike Last Temptation of Christ, except he kind of goes through it.
Right.
Where he's like, okay, I can either go down the path that's been chosen for me, or I can make a decision and do what I want to do.
Right.
Which one of these should I do? And then Last Temptation of Christ, he kind of dreams the possibility.
So Superman 2 is basically Last Temptation of Christ because he gives up his powers to be with the woman.
Yes. In Superman 2, he sort of takes this little detour to actually do it, realizes that it's not for him, and reverses it. But yeah, as I was sitting here thinking about it, I was like, oh my God, there's like a perfect parallel there.
Yeah.
And I know the Superman thing is there's always a Jesus thing behind it.
Right. It's
I sent my only son. And...
Right, right. So the Superman comic was created by two Jewish kids.
Oh.
So I don't know if they had a Jesus parallel in mind when they created him, but like clearly when they did the movie, it was there, and he's been tied as a Jesus figure ever since.
Yeah. Didn't they do something really overtly
in
obvious?
Man of Steel?
Yes.
Yeah.
They put him on a cross or something. Something.
Oh, it was fucking ridiculous.
Crazy obvious happened.
There were two very obvious scenes. He ends up in a church at one point, and there's like a profile of him and then Jesus in the background.
That's right.
But then at one point he flies out of a ship and he goes like this and does like the cross.
That's what it is. I remember looking at you.
Fucking asshole.
I literally remember looking at you in the movie theater and going, really?
Yeah.
Did they just do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not stupid.
Good job,
fucking
guys.
Fucking hell, Zach.
Come on, Zach.
Come on, Zach. Yeah, I'm curious what the next Superman film version is going to be.
So Cavill's out, right? He's done.
Cavill's done.
I liked him.
It's a shame. Like, he could have been
moments, yeah.
He could have been a great Superman if he had been written as one.
He's a handsome fella.
As far as, like, just pure looks go, he looked the most like Superman of anyone ever.
More than Christopher Reeve?
I would say so, yes. He looked like he was carved out of marble.
I don't think I can get past Christopher Reeve as Superman.
No. Like, separate the performance from just the pure look of it.
No, I'm saying the look of Christopher Reeve looks like Superman.
He does,
to me.
But Henry Cavill, I feel like, does even more.
I don't agree.
Well, okay.
I like Christopher Reeve's face. I just like his face so.
Oh, I do too.
I think Henry Cavill looks tougher.
Yeah.
And I think Christopher Reeve has this very all-American.
In a different way.
He has the Norman Rockwell look.
Yeah.
And he maintains it throughout.
But that's part of the, that's partly performance. Like, if you completely throw away the performance and you just took a picture of each of them, for me, Cavill, you know.
I will challenge
and
you.
And you don't do the spit curl thing. Because okay. Cavill didn't really have the spit curl.
Well, I challenge you to send me a side-by-side, and I will be the judge of that.
Okay. When they cast Cavill, I was like, he looks like fucking Superman.
When they cast Heath Ledger, you cried for like 4 days.
I didn't cry.
You didn't eat dinner. You were like, I'm not coming home tonight. I'm going to the bar.
How is that relevant to the conversation about
I'm just
Superman?
Saying, you can't look at a picture based upon casting.
I know that.
And then say this is going to be good or bad.
I am aware of that. And I'm just saying, like, when Cavill was cast, I said, I really like this casting choice based on the look. Like, he looks like Superman to me.
Right. And then when they cast Heath Ledger.
And then the movie sucked.
When they cast Heath Ledger, you were like, I'm not coming home. I'm going to the bar. I'll see you in 3 days. And I was like, Justin, it's a movie. And you were all, they're ruining it. They're ruining the whole thing.
Again, I'm not sure why. Like, I'm already admitting I was wrong about Cavill being cast. I'm not sure how bringing up Heath Ledger negates any of that. Like,
it doesn't negate it. It's just a fun story to tell. There were weeks of emails and, like, and it was months of him being like, I just, if they fuck this up, like, how could they make such a bad choice? This is going to be the kid from The Patriot? What the fuck? And I'd be like, Justin, I think you should just eat your salad and then maybe we should go to bed. But it was a daily conversation.
That's the most wrong I've ever been about a casting choice ever.
That's the most wrong I've ever been about anything ever.
Again,
in my life,
I'm not
ever.
Alone. Like, when Heath Ledger was cast, so many people were like, what? And then
you said people. I think what you meant was fanboys.
No. Just
no, I'm people, I mean, and I didn't give a flying shit.
Yeah, I know. But anyone who gave a shit about the movie.
And Christopher Nolan knocked it out of the park.
Christopher Nolan was right.
Yep.
Obviously.
Christopher Nolan went yad on that one.
He went yad. Anyway, this is a really weird fucking side project. Because we were talking about Henry Cavill.
And he shit all over your dreams.
He didn't shit. No, it wasn't his fault. The director, Zack Snyder, shit all over my dreams by making him an asshole.
He gave you a chocolate soft serve.
He gave me a shit sandwich. He gave me a shit sandwich. In the shape of a giant S.
I remember leaving the theater being like,
I feel like I got face raped.
Yeah. I don't remember. Did I lean over in the middle of the movie and say something to you about it? That I was exhausted from watching it.
Yeah, it was legit like being smashed in the face of a golf club.
Well, so.
For a solid hour and a half.
What year did we see Slayer?
2010.
So I got Justin tickets to go see Slayer. And by the end of the show, I was like, Justin, I'm fucking exhausted. Like, it was exhausting because it's just being beat
They're
in the face with a guitar for an hour and a half.
So fucking loud.
They're so loud. And it's constant driving.
Yep.
And it, so basically watching the Superman, the Man of Steel.
It was like that.
It was like an hour and a half of Slayer.
That was like they were shoving their guitars in your ear holes for 2 hours.
That's a great visual.
And that's what Man of Steel was. It was 2.5 hours of just Superman punching you in the fucking eyeballs.
Yeah. This is a really long post-show chat.
The point is... Superman 1978 got it as close as anyone has, but it's still not perfect.
But what would you have done differently? Lois?
I mean, Lois, but also just the idea of, like, spinning the world backwards and reversing time and not really reversing time, and it's just messy.
Yeah.
Brandon Routh's Superman captured the spirit and took advantage of the technology in a way that there were great Superman scenes, but the script just wasn't great, and it was like, why are you tacking on your Superman to what already happened? Like, just do a new Superman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That should have been their Batman Begins. And then they tried to start over with Man of Steel, which I respected, but then they tried to reinvent it, which was like, you don't need to reinvent it, just be true to the characters, but start on your own origin story.
We take our Superman very seriously here.
Well, it's a delicate character, really.
Yeah.
As simple as it is on the surface, it's a delicate character to get right.
Yeah.
They got it right tonally with this movie. There were just technological limits and cultural limits where you couldn't be as sophisticated with a comic book movie as you can now.
Yeah, comic book movies have come such a long way.
Yeah.
We live in the golden age of comic book movies.
We do, and that really started...
Another reason you were born at the right time.
That's right. And that really started, you know, within the last 15 years, having a comic book movie that complex that you could treat it like a serious film and still honor the subject matter.
Thank you, Christopher Nolan. And really, I think people do, like, they look at Marvel because it's a series within itself that has so much to offer.
Yeah.
I think it's easy for people to be like, oh, that's the one that did it, but it's not. Nolan did it.
Nolan really did it. Anyway, we love Superman. We love this version of Superman. We hope someone will equal this version of Superman someday.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Does anyone have some kryptonite that they can give me? It's me. It's Lois. Lois Lane.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.